What did Brutus, Cassius, and Cicero discuss in the months leading up to the assassination of Julius Caesar? What could have motivated them to make such a drastic move? Well, Richard Nelson's speculations on what those talks might have been like are the basis of his new play, Conversations in Tusculum, now receiving its world premiere at the Public Theater on Lafayette Street. The show's run has been extended through March 30th, and here now for a conversation about conversations are playwright Richard Nelson and actor David Strathern, who plays Cassius. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, Ireland.
Richard, can you give us a brief summary of what you were dealing with here?
Well, the play takes place between spring of 45 BC and September of 45 BC, which is the summer before the assassination of Julius Caesar. And it takes place in a town called Tusculum.
Would that be Tuscany today?
No, it wouldn't. It's about 15 miles southeast of Rome. It doesn't exist anymore. And it was a sort of the East Hamptons of Rome at the time. It's where a lot of wealthy and politically connected people had their villas. And so the play takes place sort of in a sense of exile. These characters, the main characters, Brutus, Cassius, Cicero, have retreated to the countryside to sort of deal and lick their wounds, figure out what they're doing, complain, sort themselves out about Caesar.
And like the Hamptons, there's even the perpetual house guest, an actor who stays with everybody, moves from house to house. David, you play Cassius. You don't have much of a mean and hungry look in this play. How much do you think our sense of what happened has been determined by Shakespeare's version of these events?
Probably quite a bit. The general public probably carries a certain amount of connotations that respond and, you know, continue to be refreshed by Shakespeare's reporting of that.
Have you ever been in Julius Caesar?
I haven't.
Performed in Julius Caesar?
No. But this is as valid a conjecture, I believe, because given the amount of writing that is available to us, you can surmise and document a lot of what these guys were feeling, going through.
Well, Richard, I'll bet most people believe that Julius Caesar actually said et tu, Brute, when he was stabbed by Brutus on the Ides of March, the Power Theater, although he may very well have said that. Perhaps Shakespeare even did research. I'm sure you did a fair amount of research.
Shakespeare's research is pretty clear. Shakespeare read Plutarch and followed very closely Plutarch in his play Julius Caesar. I looked a lot at Plutarch as well as a lot of other sources that we now have, which Shakespeare didn't have.
How influential was this group of people, Cassius, Brutus, who, by the way, is played by Aidan Quinn, Cicero, played by Brian Dennehy, in building the state of Rome at that time?
These were significant players. Cicero was a very major player in the Republic of Rome for many decades. Brutus came from a family that was one of the founding families of the Roman Republic, going back 400 years. It was a very significant figures in that society.
So we're talking about a respectable group, and it must have meant an awful lot for them to even come to the point where they would consider assassinating Julius Caesar.
Well, that's exactly that. The assassination, to come to a conclusion of assassinating Julius Caesar, was a long and hard and obviously painful journey, and one where they had to come to the conclusion that the Republic, which had existed for 400 years, was either over or in great danger. And it was in that context, I'm sure, they came to that conclusion.
David, Cassius speaks less than either Cicero or Brutus, yet he's an equal presence on the stage. How important is listening in playing a role like this?
Well, it's vital. The way the play is staged, in many ways, throughout the show, each of us are conduits to the audience. And in the way it's in the round, sometimes the audience is only seeing the listener's face. So it's vital that they perceive the effect of what's being said as well as hearing it.
Do you like playing in the round?
I love it. I think it's very intimate. It challenges the audience to sort of peek around the corners of a body, and it also, you know, it gets their ears attuned.
And it doesn't hurt when you're part of a cast of this quality.
No, it doesn't. Listening is very easy.
But also that becomes an important thing. I'd imagine that on different nights, these wonderful actors deliver their lines a little differently. You have to respond differently, don't you?
Well, that's the nature of a conversation. And when the subject matter is as fraught, one's emotions, one's sort of musicology of what they're thinking, it changes. That's the wonderful sort of mutability of theater. And it keeps you on your toes, and listening is fresh.
Well, you're playing an intellectual. All of these men are intellectuals.
Well, I don't know if Cassius was really the intellectual. There's not much that he wrote, you know, compared to Cicero and Brutus. But they were thinkers.
Richard, the New York Times published an article this past Sunday about the idea of negative space in theater, characters that never appear. In this show, two of the most talked about characters never appear, Caesar and Cato. Cato's dead. Were you ever tempted to include one of the meetings in which Caesar and Brutus and Cassius describe?
Never. It was always a play about conversations of dealing with their own feelings and not confrontations. That was the impulse of writing the play. As I talked to the actors as we began, we talked many times throughout the rehearsal process that the play works as a series of conversations trying to figure things out as opposed to dramatic confrontations. And so I think who Caesar is looms large, small, odd by who's talking about him. And he becomes a different person by who's telling us about their feelings about Caesar. And I think that's we learn more about the people talking that way than about a confrontation between two characters.
And Caesar changes even with the same person when they're talking about him at different times. That's important, too. You're nodding your head, David. These are things you obviously have to think about when you're preparing for a role like this.
Yeah, you're given the window into your character in many ways, and in this, with any given play. And this one, the window is your reaction to this man, and how he has affected not only you personally, but perhaps your friends' lives, and so it's a very it's interesting sort of neurology to you're not really excuse me actively engaged with the thing that is most actively engaging you, if you know what I mean. He's off stage. You are reporting what he has wrought, and so you do learn a lot just by dint of how you are relating the effect.
I wonder about getting along with the other cast members, because this is so much also about camaraderie. I've often wondered on baseball teams where you get these 25 players together and they come from different backgrounds, and you can be sure that some of them rub each other the wrong way. Would that even be possible in something like this?
Perhaps. Fortunately, we don't have to answer that question, because the team on our bench is, we are pretty much dialed in. You know, it's the love of the play, the love of theater, and we found a really kind of a great camaraderie there.
Do you do a lot of research for a part like this?
Depends.
What about Cassius? You said not as much. He didn't write, so you have the luxury. This is the first performance of this play, of inventing Cassius. Other actors are going to have to come along and figure it out differently. In fact, they're going to have to say, well, I really don't want to be influenced by what David Strathairn did.
There's not that much to be influenced by, frankly. I found a couple of handles about Cassius. The friendship with Brutus is crucial. The fact that he was an Epicurean, he sort of followed that, whatever that beliefs were, and he was a soldier. And the most pivotal and influential piece of information is that my wife, Brutus's sister, has been Caesar has asked for her, and is well. I've been cuckolded by Caesar. That's that's plenty to go on.
Another reason to be angry.
Perhaps the prime reason.
More than saving Rome from a dictatorship.
I think it's hand in hand, but you know, and it's an interesting debate that I had with myself. Well, am I a political creature, or is this a personal vengeance?
My guests are David Strathern, who plays Cassius in a new play about the talks before the assassination of Julius Caesar, as depicted in Richard Nelson's Conversations in Tusculum, which is now at the Public Theater and will be running through March 30th in an extended run. It's always a pleasure to have a play extended, because you don't know what kind of response it's going to get. But this has gotten a fabulous response, hasn't it?
It has. I'm thrilled. And I also have one of the most amazing casts any playwright or director could wish for. It's an extraordinary group of people in really an A team. I'm very excited.
Including the two female characters, Portia, Brutus's wife, is played by Gloria Rubin, and Servilia, his husband, is played by Maria. His mother, I mean, is played by Maria Tucci. Wonderful cast members as well. Throughout the play, at least the performance I was at, which, by the way, was on the Ides of March, just coincidentally, the audience laughed at a number of lines that seemed to refer to current political concerns. And I think they all assumed that you were thinking about what was going on in the world when you were writing this play. Were you?
Well, I wrote the play. I started the play in January of 2006 and finished it by September 2006. So whenever a writer is writing, they're writing from the period of time in which they're writing. You can't shake that off. I'm not really interested in writing history plays that are simply a dramatization of history. I'm interested in using the characters in the stories to pursue interests and themes and concerns and questions that I, as a person and as a writer, have. And so that there are connections or relations to the present time, I think is true, and it would always be true.
But it was also important to stay true to
absolutely
history. How much did you know about all of this before you began writing it?
I didn't know that much. I did a lot of research. And it's a period of time that again, there's not a lot of primary sources that still exist. And so I went into reading those. Cicero's, for example, wrote a series of books called, which could be translated, Conversations at Tusculum. And so there's a number of things out there, but enough that not so much that it was overwhelming.
And David, I understand you organized a field trip to the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Yes, that was reported that I organized it. It really wasn't. I was one of the tagger alongs, but a trip was organized.
For what? After all, this is not played in period costume. So what would you get out of going to the Met other than the fact that you went to a wonderful museum?
You know, those intangibles, people wonder how can you apply the togas, let alone, you know, the armor and the haircuts. You know, Aidan said, after looking at some of the statues, he said to me, we better get in the gym quick. but, you know, we knew going in that those things weren't going to be gleaned from, you know, the museum and put into the show. Susan Hilferty, the designer, you know, it's just a brilliant designer, had a whole another landscape that she was going to give us. But being there, we went to see some of the rooms that they had reconstructed. You get a sense of proportion. I was quite taken by the delicacy of the paintings on the wall and some of the relics. You know, people have an idea of Rome as being this very muscular, and indeed the empire was, but the way the room was appointed was very interesting. And it gave us, you know, it's grist for the mill. It may end up in there in some, you know, intangible way, but it does give you a feeling that these places and the people in these places, connotations were dispelled.
Yeah. Richard, according to Eutropius, around 60 or more men participated in the assassination, and Caesar was stabbed 23 times. We don't get to that. It's important that we imagine, almost in the same way that we imagine Oedipus blinding himself. Were there any other assassins worthy of mention?
Well, in this story, in my story, we just get to the point where the potential of assassination is just being discussed. So I think that's being led by Brutus, and I think it's pretty clear historically that Brutus was one of the leaders of that. It's very complicated historically. There are references that Antony himself had some conversations of an assassination in that summer. I don't deal with that in the play.
Well, supposedly he tried to head off Julius Caesar, but he didn't succeed.
But literally in conversations of an assassination. So it's a very complicated time, and I think within a play you need to sort of limit your characters.
Unfortunately, this play is only going to be performed until March 30th. I assume everybody has other things to go to, although the cast is just astounding, so you should try to get to see it. If you want more information about tickets, you should check out our show page at WNYC.org. And my great thanks to Richard Nelson, author of Conversations in Tusculum, and David Strathern, who plays Cassius. And we don't want to forget Aidan Quinn and Brian Dennehy and the other cast members in this incredible production. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Lana.